So Kerry is going to come and speak, which would be great, and Pierre is going to come and say a prayer for you.
Thank you. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you for Sister Ende, that she'll be speaking from your heart, Father, and that we'll be ready to receive whatever you want to tell us today, Lord. That the words will be seeds that will fall on fertile ground, Lord, and that it will carry fruit, and it will go forth and multiply, Father. Thank you for this. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
So, we are the people of God. This is where we are in the middle of this series. If you've got your booklets and you've been reading along, then you'll know that this is our teaching series. And it's based around our river vision. Yes, there we go, which hopefully you'll be familiar with. I've got a huge one. Look, I got an enormous one that sits on my desk at home. But I wonder if you got your freebies. Didn't we get their freebies? You got your coasters or your fridge magnets. I tell you, there's just no expense spared in this place. So grab one of those if you'd like one of those. Just a reminder of who we are as the River People. So we say we're the people of God, but what does that mean if we're part of the River family? And what we've been doing is we've been looking around this. We started off with the why right in the centre. Why are we here? Why is River Church here? And that is to bring the life of Jesus and his kingdom wherever we are. We then spent 3 weeks moving around the circle. How do we do that? We do that by looking on the face of Christ, by loving everyone we meet, and by living like heaven is near. And now in this sort of 6 week period, we are working our way around the outside of the circle. And last week, I know you had a guest speaker, but across river, we were looking here. What does it look like as a river distinctive to look on the face of Christ? And we were looking at seeing the goodness of God. And we touched on that this morning, didn't we? Throughout the Bible and in every circumstance of life, the good ones, the tough ones, the challenging ones, the thrilling ones. This morning, we're going to flip out of the pink and we're going down to the blue. And we're looking at building relational, radical and inclusive communities of Jesus followers. As river people, we are relational people. And that's what this is all about. And just I want to say that I know I'm doing this talk this morning, but you know what? It's way easier to follow people's model, to follow the example that they set. And for me, I think you guys have got two amazing leaders in Paul and Anthea, because I think that they embody this. I think they embody being relational, being radical, being inclusive. And, you know, I just really want to honour them for that. And you guys are really blessed to have them as your leaders. And, amen. And honestly, you know, follow them. Follow where they lead you, follow their example, follow their model, and this place will truly be a place that's a relational, radical and inclusive community of Jesus followers. Thank you. I was just bound to fall over them at some point. So anyway, that's a right mouthful, isn't it? And it's really easy to say those words. If you've been in River a long time, they'll be like, yeah, I know those words. If you're new to River, they'll be like, well, what do they mean? So what I want to do this morning is I just want to really quickly just look at four of those words, and I'm not doing a sermon on each one. I'm just pulling out a few thoughts for you on those words. And then what I want us to do is just listen to Holy Spirit for ourselves. What does he want to say to you personally this morning? Because it can all be theory, but to move our we should do this into something that actually happens, we need Holy Spirit to move in our hearts. So we're going to take a bit of time to contemplate a painting from the 1660s. Come on. And ask God to speak to us personally through it. More on that in a moment. So, four words we're going to look at. The first one is communities. Now, if you look up a dictionary definition of this, it says that a community is a group of people who share something in common. So the clue's up there, community of Jesus followers. That's what we share in common. We are Jesus followers. We believe in him, we love him, and we follow him. But the definition goes on. Because not only do you define a community by the shared attributes of the people in it, but by the strength of the connections among them. You need a bunch of people who are alike in some way and who feel some sense of belonging or connection with one another. So it's more than just having one thing in common. And we see this, don't we? So you can have a community of people who live in a certain place, and we see this in the news, don't we? And there's a natural disaster or a tragedy that strikes that community, and all of a sudden people pull together, don't they? They start helping one another, they go beyond their normal for one another, and strong bonds begin to form. They're all alike because they live in the same place, but now there's a sense of belonging to one another. And I think it's a bit like that for us here. Our call is not just to be Jesus followers who meet together here on a Sunday. That's what we have in common. But we're people who share something much deeper together. I mean, the Bible calls us the family of God. So that's community. Let's look at relational. Being relational, here's the definition, means having an interconnectedness with others. It means that in our interactions with others, we're engaged, we're clear, we're generous, we're humble, we're kind. The opposite of relational is solitary. Now, our God is relational, isn't he? He's our Father. It's the whole story of the Bible is a relational God reaching out to us, his people. And we come close, we go away, he still reaches out. He longs to draw us in. We're made in his image. We know that. So therefore, at our core, we are designed to be relational people. And being relational with him comes first. Looking on the face of Christ, being relational with our Father God, spending time with him, allowing him to move in our lives and our hearts, seeing him do really real things with us. But we are designed to function best and to thrive when we're relational with others. But it is true that some of us have to work harder than others at that. I actually can be a really solitary person. It is a bit of a cosmic joke to me that I lead a church because I really like being on my own. And I like nothing better than to disappear with a book. Never go on holiday with me. I'm not fun. And some of the life experiences that Jonathan and I have had as a couple have a tendency, we can be really self-sufficient, because we've had to dig into things and just get through things. And we actually have to work quite hard to be relational. For us, it just requires a constant recalibration. And we all go through different seasons, don't we? Seasons when we maybe need to withdraw a bit. But God calls us into relationship with one another. And as families, we need to work to be relational, don't we? You know, my kids, my daughter's 21 on Wednesday. I don't know how that happened, but it did. And she's at university, and she's having a fantastic time, and she's really happy. She's thriving. She's doing really well. She's really independent. And I can honestly wave her off for a new term and never hear a thing from her until the end of that term. And that's not because she doesn't love me or I don't love her. It's just she's busy and life goes on. But we have to work to be relational. And that's so true with all of us. Our lives are busy, and there's much going on, but we need to actually work at being relational with one another. And you know, River's DNA from the very start has been that we're relational. Right back, Al will say, won't you, in the beginning, relational is one of the words that's been over us as a church. But it's really easy for us to lose sight of that in our lives, which are really increasingly busy, aren't they? And our culture that just pushes us on and on and on to more. And I was thinking, you know, if I made a list of the people who I'm most grateful for in my life, they would be people who've invested in me over the years, invested time, energy, patience, friendships that have stood the test of time, people who we've travelled the road with. That's being relational. You know, will the Lord do that through us with others? It's so important. One of our readings this week is from John. Jesus saying, "So I give you now a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you're my true followers." It's really challenging, isn't it? Love each other just as much as I have loved you. He gave up everything for us, and that's a really tough call. But look what happens as we start to practice that. Everyone knows we're his true followers. That's our first witness, the way we love one another. And the quality of our love needs to be deep, rich, sacrificial. You know, there's no place for relational strife or bad attitudes or offence amongst us as the people of God. The grace of God needs to cover all of that amongst us, and we just need to be humble with one another. So will we make time for others? That's a hard ask in a busy world, but will we make time to be relational? It's what marks us out as his true followers. Word number three. Radical. This is kind of an overused word, isn't it, really? Radical. And if you look it up in the dictionary, it rattles on about, it relates to the fundamental nature of something, but it talks about being far-reaching, total, utter, profound, deep. The opposite of radical is superficial. That's perhaps the easiest way to understand it. And we don't want to be a superficial community of Jesus followers, do we? And I was saying to the Lord, well, what does a radical community of Jesus followers look like? And it's right there in the Bible. One of our readings this week. Let me read out to you from Acts 2, verse 42 to 47. Every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another, sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer. A deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. All the believers were in fellowship as one body, and they shared with one another whatever they had. Out of generosity, they even sold their assets to distribute the proceeds to those who were in need among them. Daily they met together in the temple courts and in one another's homes to celebrate communion. They shared meals together with joyful hearts and tender humility. They were continually filled with praises to God, enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were coming to life. That's the first community of Jesus followers. That's a radical community. It's not superficial. It's deep. And it's really easy for us to actually kind of not take that to heart, because it's very challenging, isn't it? And our culture's really different to first century Israel when all of this was going on, and we struggle, you know, this whole thing of meeting together daily and sharing everything and... But you know what? It's a journey. It's a journey. And what do we see in that passage about being radical that could help us today? So I've just got three really short things for you. First of all, they had a radical experience of God. And the Lord wants us to have a radical experience of him. Not just on a Sunday, but day by day by day, in the way my sister is having, day by day by day. A radical experience, a sense of awe, of seeing God work miraculously among us, so that there's a dimension to our community life as a church family that goes beyond what we can achieve with our own efforts. I think that's what it's about. It's about allowing the freedom and the power of God amongst us. So a radical experience of God, radical community life, meeting together regularly, sharing life day by day, including in those who are lonely or on the edges. Space at my table is one of those things. Spending time with one another, being in contact. It's so easy to be in contact with one another these days, isn't it? WhatsApp, texts, and that sense of a radical community life, not little islands doing our own thing. And radical giving. Looking after those who are in need, both here and in our wider community. So there's three aspects of being radical from that passage that we could kind of get a hold of. Radical experience of God, radical community life, and radical giving. Should we do the last word? Is this helping? Who knows? Inclusive. The last word, inclusive. Okay, so if you describe a group as inclusive, you mean that it allows all kinds of people to belong to it, rather than just one kind of person. So our doors are open. We welcome everyone, irrespective of who they are, where they've come from, what they bring with them. And we might have to work hard at that, because people can be really different to us, can't they? But we are called to treat everyone with kindness and respect. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to agree with people's behaviour or their life choices. But it does mean that we give grace. Grace, grace, and more grace. And we don't judge. Because who are we to judge? What is there in my life that is far from perfect? Grace, guys, grace. And our aim isn't to turn people who come into mini versions of ourselves. It's to help them become the very best them that they can be. It's to encourage them, to lead them to Jesus, and let Holy Spirit do his stuff in them uniquely. You know, my kids, I love my kids passionately. I value them. I care for them, even when they don't want me to. I welcome them. They are part of my family. But I actually don't necessarily agree with some of their life choices. I don't agree with some of their values. But it doesn't stop my love for them. They know my values are different to theirs because I haven't kept that hidden. In relationship, we've shared that. But I don't allow that to alienate me from them relationally or to judge them. We can't use the Bible as a rule book to judge people and criticize people over their behavior or their choices. God calls us to walk with people in their faith journeys and allow them the space to explore that with the Holy Spirit. He is so capable of talking to people about their lives, their values, their life choices. And we change, don't we, when we're convinced we've heard from the voice of God. Not because somebody else has told us what we need to do. So let's be inclusive. Let's suspend our judgment. Let's love people, walk with people, point them to Jesus. That's who we are as River people. So that's an exploration of some of those words to give you a bit of a framework and a bit of a context of what we're talking about. And what I'd like us to do now is to spend 5 minutes pondering a painting. And I'm not going to say anything about this painting. I'm just going to bring it out in a moment. And what I want, well, I've put a bit of music on in the background, hopefully, technology permitting. And just what I want you to do is look at this deeply and say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to me about being relational, radical, inclusive? And allow him to speak to you. Now, if you're not a visual person, why don't you just close your eyes, listen to the music, and ask the same question. Holy Spirit, what is it you want to say to me about being radical, relational, and inclusive? Are you up for this? And then if you've got some things that you want to share at the end, we can share. I'll let you know what the Lord did with me when I saw this for the first time. And then we'll pray. Does that sound like a plan? Lord. Lord, speak to us. Holy Spirit, speak. So, is there anything anybody wants to briefly share? Shall I go first? So I'd never seen this painting before. We had a prophetic art time in Maidenhead, and the guys put this up and asked us to ask Holy Spirit what he said. And I was transfixed by the figure who'd come. And he looks grubby, raggy, shoes hanging off. I imagine he's a bit smelly. And he comes in wanting to be included. And this guy's got all his fine stuff on. And yet he's prepared to just put his arms out and welcome the unlovely and the unwanted. And I just felt myself wonder where I would be in that painting. And I knew if I was really honest in my heart of hearts, I'd be over here. I'd be watching, letting someone else do the hugging of the smelly person. And actually what the Lord was wanting me to do was to break my heart enough to be inclusive, to be relational, for me to be radical, to welcome the unwanted and the unlovely. This is, of course, a painting by Rembrandt of the return of the prodigal son, one of his last works. And here's a passage from it. Actually, no, not a passage from it, a passage that relates to it. After washing their feet, Jesus put his robe on, returned to his place at the table. "Do you understand what I just did?" Jesus said. "You've called me your teacher and Lord, and you're right, for that's who I am. So if I, your teacher and Lord, have just washed your dirty feet, then you should follow the example that I've set for you and wash one another's dirty feet. Embrace the lost. Embrace the ones who aren't like me, the ones who he wants to reach with his love. And you know what his promise is? So now, put into practice what I have done for you, and you will experience a life of happiness enriched with untold blessings." There's a promise, even as he asks us to do what for us feels hard. So, who will we choose today to be as a river people of God? Will we choose to be people who are relational, who are radical, who are inclusive, thereby showing the world how great, how good, and how loving our God is? So, my challenge to you this week: how can you be more relational in this church family this week? What's one thing you could do to change, to be more relational? Is there a relationship in this church family that you need to sort out? An attitude? A bit of a fence? Mend some bridges? What's Holy Spirit said to you as you contemplated that painting? Go home, write it down, and let it change your heart and change your values and change your life. Can I just pray with you all? Is that okay? Lord God, I just want to thank you that for every one of us, you welcomed us like this. That actually, Lord, in my unsaved state, I was like the guy in rags and tatters, Lord God, with little to bring to you. But thank you that you reached out to me and you welcomed me absolutely without hesitation. You didn't hold back. And Lord, your love is so deep, so rich, so inclusive. Lord, would you change our hearts that we would reflect you, that we would bring that life of Jesus and his kingdom wherever we are. So Holy Spirit, we give you, well, you might not want to, but I want to give you permission, Lord God, to change my heart, to give me opportunities to be a relational, radical, and inclusive person. In Jesus' name, amen.